You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football at large for sportingnews.com. And if you were with us last week, you know we kind of changed the format a little bit. We went away from our Thursday show late in the season, that our usual lineup Thursday, and we turned it into Focused Friday. And usually we have our guest there, Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus, but he will rejoin us next week. But make sure that you're leaving a review of the show, and with your Twitter handle on iTunes, we can pick one winner per show per week on the Locked On NFL Network to get a free PFF Edge subscription, a $39.99 value. So take advantage of that. So it's powered here by Pro Football Focus, and a lot of their insight is great with Jeff and the work they do with the wide receiver cornerback matchups, and a very useful tool for all fantasy football owners. So as we're kind of remixing this show for Fridays, it's going to be a little bit of everything. We're going to break down the Thursday game, so we'll put that in the books before we get into all the Sunday and Monday action. There's the Falcons holding off the Saints there 20-17. We'll also look at some DFS value plays and guys that I'm looking at this week on both FanDuel and DraftKings, whichever format you like to play and which might be a better value for you. One player is particularly good on one side and maybe not as good on the other side for their price. So we'll get into that as well. And then we'll close the show with some injury updates that you need to know. So everything that kind of wraps a bow going into all the decisions that you need to make for week 14. It's good to do it on Friday when we have all the information right there in front of us to make the best informed final decisions there. So let's break down this Falcons-Saints game. 20-17, the Falcons win. And as expected, this point total was near 54, went to 51. The Falcons ended up being a 2-point favorites. They came through barely here at the end of the game, but it was a tough night for the running backs. We'll start with the losing team here, the Saints. Alvin Kamara, you had such high hopes. He was on a monster roll. He's carried a lot of teams, but he probably ended some seasons here, unfortunately, with a concussion. Scary-looking play there. He came out of the game early before he departed. He was looking good again. He had four touches for 27 yards, so real bummer for Kamara and the Saints, and you could tell that their offense kind of was trying to find itself again while he missed the game, and really was an effect there. I mean, Mark Ingram did his best with the toe injury. He actually came through with 92 yards from scrimmage on 16 touches here. So the Falcons were able to contain Ingram a little bit more without the threat of Kamara and the versatility. The Falcons had been struggling more against pass-catching backs anyway than power backs. I think Ingram needed a bit of Kamara's change of pace to help him in this one. And the success was there, but still rather limited. If he had gotten a touchdown, he would have been very pleased with it. But in the red zone, however, you saw Drew Brees get a couple touchdowns. One to Michael Thomas, who had a big game. Finally, you've been waiting for this. He's been steady all year, getting in the end zone a lot of spots. Good to floor there from week to week. But you're waiting for this type of game that we saw a lot last year. 10 catches on 14 targets for 117 yards and a TD. Fought through a couple different injuries, a foot ankle issue early, got poked in the eye late, but toughed it out. Very tough receiver, runs good routes, finishes well in the red zone. And he's been a solid player in fantasy all year. And sometimes you just want some solid guys like that. And Thomas came through in a spectacular fashion in this one with the 117-1. The other was caught by Tommy Lee Lewis, so not much to see there. But Ted Ginn was bottled up. He had a great catch down the stretch. It didn't add up to the victory, but only two catches for 10 yards. Brandon Coleman, 2 for 32 here, so pretty much when you're not having Kamara, it's going to be the Michael Thomas and Mark Ingram show. So pretty much a three hands offense at this point. And Kamara, we'd expect with the extra layoff from Thursday Night Football, he should be fine here for the game against the Jets. A very good matchup there in week 15 at home. So we figure he'll be good to go for that. He'll clear protocol, but just a bummer to see him in the mid game injury there and now being thrown out of this game. Drew Brees, 271 yards, two TDs. So for all those people worried and concerned about Brees, you knew the Falcons, the matchup was going to get him going. You could have had a third TD there in the end. Maybe the game winner, the Saints, would have liked that too. But you did have the pick there to Deion Jones that sealed the fate in reality for the Saints. But in fantasy, you were definitely happy with Brees because it's been a struggle to get those multiple touchdowns and close to 300 yards, and you got that in this game. Speaking of quarterback struggles, wow. I mean, Matt Ryan in this game, I know there's a couple more random interceptions, but he threw one awful one. The decisions were bad overall, made that ill-fated pass at the end of the first half, didn't cost them a field goal, and luckily that didn't happen because they won by a field goal 20-17. But 221 yards, one TD there to Mohamed Sanu, three picks, so not a very good game. Pretty much wipes out those TDs. He didn't have any rushing yards either. So bad game for Matt Ryan. If you benched him and had someone better, just a complete 180 of the season. Matt Ryan is now lingering in the 20s there for fantasy football production. He's not close to a QB1 anymore this season. And a lot of different reasons for that, but Steve Sarkisian and that change. If they're also pretty good at running in for scores in the red zone. Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman also had to leave late with a concussion before he did that, 9 for 32. I thought he could be a little bit more involved, but they just didn't throw to their backs in this one at all. Zero targets there, zero catches. So when you look at that, that's very disappointing. Some development that was there with Kyle Shanahan for sure. So Freeman, 24 for 91, came back from his issues and really produced here well. So you'll take that for sure in most games from Freeman. Coleman, he should be okay as well with the long layoff there to play in their next game. So they can. It's a Buccaneers, so you figure it's a good opportunity for Coleman to get going. But tough afterthought in this one behind Freeman. Julio Jones had the tough matchup with Marshawn Lattimore, won it a few times, got the targets, 11. I think and sometimes Ryan was forcing it to him, but 5 for 98, solid, but not exactly what you're looking for here in critical week 14. Mohamed Sanu, I really liked him in this game against the Saints. Slot coverage away from Lattimore, he came through 6 catches, 83 yards on 8 targets, and a TD. So that's what's hurting Matt Ryan. This offense is not too multiple when it pretty much Jones, Sanu, very little of Austin Hooper. Taylor Gabriel's hardly a factor anymore in this one. Justin Hardy's nowhere to be found. And Living Tolulu is just a once in a blue moon type of tight end receiver. So the weapons that Ryan maximized under Shanahan, they're being minimized now, especially with the backs not getting involved to help his production. And that has to be sorely, sorely disappointing. Now, have you looked for the ultimate beat report for your team, whether you listen and love everything that the Saints and Falcons are due? Maybe you are looking at the Packers or Cowboys as your favorite team, or you're in the AFC with the Chiefs or Raiders. Well, it doesn't really matter. We've got you covered on the Locked On NFL Network. Our local hosts do a great job breaking down everything that your team is doing every day throughout the week, and greater player interviews and features that you won't get anywhere else, plus insight that goes beyond the basic reporting of the team. So great shows all around. Make sure you check those out on the Locked On NFL Network. Now, we go into our segment here with looking at DFS plays and values, and we'll focus on the values because I think you know for the most part if you're going to pay up for a stud what you're going to get. I think Tom Brady against the Dolphins and LeSean McCoy against the Colts, you're going to try your best to pay up for those guys, and the way you do that is balance it out with some good values there. So DFS is still something that is growing on me and growing on a game here that it's very unpredictable, so it's tough to get in this season, but this may be a good time to do it with the season long over. So if you haven't been playing regularly, I do give some FanDuel values every week. We're going to look at both FanDuel and DraftKings here now as we dive deeper for the next few weeks. We'll start at quarterback, and there's a lot of look at Matthew Stafford here against that Tampa Bay defense, and he's a good price, and that is a good matchup, but there's a little concern about the hand injury. Could he have a little bit of setback that maybe causes him not to play at all or go struggle a little bit? So when you look at the quarterback matchups, the Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, they're having maybe a limited one there. Alex Smith and Derek Carr kind of overpriced for what we would like, even in a potential shootout rematch there. So we've got to look a little bit differently. And one pivot I make on the elite quarterbacks that I would look at is Phillip Rivers. I just don't think he's getting enough attention here in this Redskins game. Yeah, the Redskins are pretty vulnerable against the run, but we've seen that Melvin Gordon is not necessarily just getting chunk yards in these type of matchups. He struggled a little bit. The offensive line is a little banged up. But the one thing with Phillip Rivers, he's going to gunsling, get the ball out quickly. Now Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry are in such a groove that those two guys alone have given Rivers such great value and put him on a hot streak here. So I look at him, 8,100. Yeah, it's a little bit of price on FanDuel, 6,800 on DraftKings. But you look at Rivers overall in the production and the groove he's in right now. This team is on the verge of the playoffs. They could be there tied for first place if they win here against Washington, because you know the Raiders and Chiefs are playing each other. So a lot of reality stuff on the line, and Rivers can kind of sense that after that 0-4 start, this team has a chance here. The Redskins are kind of lost here. I know they have Josh Norman, Bashaud Breeland at the back end, but that's why I really like the Rivers-Henry connection this week. We'll get into Henry's price in a minute. But Allen, they can move him around and be effective. Other guys are getting involved. We know that Gordon and Austin Eckler can catch the ball out of the backfield to help Rivers as well. So I expect a great game from Rivers, very similar to what we've seen at Cowboys. Not that I'm going to say he's going to have 400 yards, but I would expect multiple TDs and a chance for 300 easily. And that's an excellent value here for a non-running quarterback in daily fantasy. Now, if you're going for the bargain basement, I think there's two guys that you have to focus on. And I think you have to decide between these two guys who's the best fit for you. I think it's also based on your tolerance of who do you trust more. Do you trust DeShone Kizer at home as the lesser talent, but has also the running ability? But Jimmy Garoppolo is also there in a great, great matchup on the road in Houston, but not going to give you too much running there. So I think this is how I easily break it down here. I think in FanDuel, you have 7,000 for Garoppolo over 6,400 for Kizer. So I think Kizer's a bit risky for me there if you're going to do that. I think for $7,600 more, I think Garoppolo can have a solid game there. So that's who I go to more on FanDuel. I just like Garoppolo and his ability to get the ball in the hands of his key guys there. And could have had some touchdowns, settled for 5 field goals in Chicago, but here at 293 yards passing, at a pick there as well. But I expect he'll clean things up. This Texans secondary is not really making any big plays against the pass. So Garoppolo, I do like there at 7,000 on FanDuel. For the $600 difference, 55 to 4,900. And Garoppolo is also maybe even a consideration cash games. That's how I feel good about him. I think Kizer is more the GPP tournament play here. 6,400. So you save 600 there. 4,900, save 600 on DraftKings as well. I'm just not crazy about Kizer because it could totally backfire. So he's more of a boomer bust one. I think Garoppolo could be solid no matter what. I mean, I think he's a definitely viable alternative to a lot of quarterbacks in year-long this week. So with Kizer, you're hoping for some nice rushing there. The Packers, we know in the past, can give up rushing yards to QBs. They're just not good at covering zone read stuff. And you look at Kizer, has Josh Gordon in the groove, this Packers secondary. Now without Kevin King there, the rookie, the first-round pick with a shoulder injury, this secondary is a mess there. He's been put on IR, so it's going to trickle down there pretty nicely for Kizer's receivers. David Njoku came back to relevance, set to valve. I know this Green Bay team, the stats say they really held down the tight ends, but they did allow Cameron Brait to score twice last week. So there's that potential as well for Njoku or DeValve in the red zone as well to help Kaiser's value. Just very hard to trust. He's a rookie quarterback. Garoppolo is a veteran. I know he's still new to his team and learning and kind of like a rookie, but there's a big difference there. So it's your trust factor. So I think Kaiser's more the roll of the dice, where Garoppolo is the safer bet and more of a cash look at lineup. At running back, this is interesting as well. Part of it is the Green Bay game, but I will get to that in a second. But I'm looking at the Bengals-Bears game for a lot of reasons. You look at Gio Bernard, and this is a no-brainer. You got to try to get him in. If Joe Mixon doesn't play, he's going to get a high volume. Only Brian Hill is behind Bernard on this depth chart. No Jeremy Hill, remember, he's on IR. So 5,100 on FanDuel, ridiculous price, even dirt cheap on DraftKings at 3,100. So it's really hard not to recommend Bernard when he's going to be a high volume back on a team that's probably going to play ahead. And Bernard ran really well against the Steelers, looking good. Clearly no signs of that knee injury anymore. He's been rested all year, pretty much behind Mixon. It looks like Mixon's going to miss the game with a concussion. So got to make sure that Mixon isn't cleared or something doesn't change that. But if Bernard is the main man, you got to put him in. It's almost like you have to take that, because he can do so much more with your lineup if you have such a good bargain RB2. So look at that. But on the other side of things, maybe a GPP contrarian play here. People are going to be off Jordan Howard a lot after his disappointment against the 49ers. But 7,000, very intriguing price on FanDuel, 5,400 on DraftKings. And why I look at Howard here is the Bengals are just totally beat up in the linebacker court. Montez Perfect may not play. And Nick Vigil was already out last week against the Steelers. That hurt them as well. A young linebacker they really like. They've had some troubles keeping guys healthy in the middle of the field. So the Bears admitted, and this may be an overcorrection coaching mistake, but they admitted they didn't give the ball Howard nearly the ball enough against San Francisco. Howard's their best bet and maybe their only bet to win this game. They're not going to put the ball in Mitchell Trubisky's hand against a pretty good secondary. They're a little bit banged up there. But another injury there, Geno Atkins has a two injury. So things in the middle might actually open up for Howard as well. So I really like Howard as a sneaky pivot here that could have a big game on volume alone. He's really going to be the only main source of offense for the Bears, like he usually does. And I don't think they'll forget about him this week. And that's where you can go at 7,054. Now, we go to a little bit of bargains, and both at 6,600, their prices are identical on FanDuel. Lamar Miller and Jamal Williams. We could say call them Jamal Miller and Lamar Williams. It doesn't really matter. They're both guys I like this week. 5,900 and 5,800 respectively for Williams and Miller on DraftKings as well. So virtually identical backs. I don't even mind if you want to put in both, but Miller will get the ball against 49ers. He's not going to be forgotten the way that Howard was last week in that matchup. But you look at it, Alfred Blue's got a concussion, so he's not going to be in there. The other back is Andre Ellington, and Ellington doesn't give you much pop in terms of a red zone. He's a pass-catching type, smaller back. So Lamar Miller should get a high volume in this game. And keep in mind that Will Fuller may return with the ribs, but this is not a quarterback in Tom Savage that's great at pushing the ball downfield anyway. So I think you're going to see a lot of Miller. You're going to see a lot of underneath throws, a lot of targets to Hopkins. But Miller, with Hopkins getting probably double team attention, you're going to see Miller and another player who I'll mention when we get to tight ends. Things open up underneath for them, the passing game. So at the full point PPR, I think Miller is the guy that you like a little bit more because he's the better pass catcher there on DraftKings. Well, I think I would pivot more to Williams as the better pure runner here with the higher volume there in terms of carries. And I know the Browns' run defense has been pretty good, but Danny Shelton has an injury here, and he's a big part of the Browns' run stuffing abilities at defensive tackle. So remember that you got to look at these injuries as well that are away from that. And Atkins is one that we're monitoring with the bad toe, and that could open things up with Burfict being out. And same thing here with Shelton being out. I think there's some good opportunities here for Williams. You know he's going to get fed the ball a lot. And that's why I didn't mention Brett Hundley as a sleeper there with Garoppolo and Kaiser as a bargain play. I think he might get one touchdown of Hundley. He's not just maybe a natural runner as much, but I figure a lot of Williams, and even with Aaron Jones healthy and probably going to get some touches. I know he pilfered the long game-winning touchdown in overtime against the Buccaneers. He's still going to get the rock a lot there, Williams, and he's their best ticket to try to win this game, get out of there, get that victory, set up Aaron Rodgers' return next week, and stay in the playoff hunt. So I think Williams, they're going to trust him as their workhorse there, even with Jones back. Now we go to our wide receivers, and I think there's an obvious circle here on Michael Crabtree. Essentially, he's had two games off here. 7,100. He's an older wide receiver. 7,100 on FanDuel, 67 on DraftKings. So expect the price to be around there. That's kind of matching what his production has been. But no Marcus Peters, self-suspended by the Chiefs. I think Crabtree has a big shot here, especially if Amari Cooper doesn't play. You'll see Crabtree eating up targets here against the maybe all second-string Chiefs defensive backs. And Darrell Revis is not Revis Island anymore. So if he's out there, Crabtree is going to carve him up there as well in the red zone. So this could be a monster game for Crabtree. Derek Carr wants him back. The tight ends were disappointing last week. Cordarrelle Patterson is banged up as well. Johnny Holton is kind of hit or miss big play. Crabtree could easily have like a 10-catch game in this one. So I'm all about Michael Crabtree at 7,167. Another one around that same price. He's actually more on DraftKings, so I maybe go away from there, but less, $100 less on FanDuel at 7,000 as Marvin Jones Jr. And yeah, I think you have to watch to see if Matthew Stafford plays or not, but this matchup is cake for Jones. He can go kind of beat Brent Grimes there pretty well here. This Bucs secondary is terrible. They really can't rush the passer, so Jones can make some big plays downfield as well. So Jones at 7,000 there. It's a better play on FanDuel versus Crabtree because it gives you a little bit of flexibility. $100 is $100. Save that and go elsewhere. Now, the two wide receiver bargains that I'm looking at, both 5,700 on FanDuel, and the big difference is on DraftKings, but I'll get to that. Marquise Goodwin of the 49ers and Corey Coleman of the Browns. Goodwin, you look at his status as the number one receiver. He's locked in with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's almost a gimme, and it's a great stack there with Jimmy for sure. 57, definite play there. 51, you might pivot a little bit away from Goodwin if the ownership is likely high. I think a lot of people are going to be on him, but in a cash game at 5,700, I am totally fine with that. He's going to get a lot of targets. He caught all of them from Garoppolo last week. The secondary is banged up and not very good for the Texans. So Goodwin is solid there. In the tournament lineup, I go Coleman, especially there when you look at the DraftKings price, 4,100. So he's 1,000 less than Goodwin. I don't think there's that much of a difference between these two receivers. Yeah, the situation is a little different. Goodwin is more a wide receiver one on his own team. That makes him a wide receiver three, surefire in fantasy. Well, Coleman is more wide receiver four or five range, given Kaiser and the limitations. But Josh Gordon, everyone knows that he went off. He looked like his old self. The Packers are going to know that too. With a short-handed secondary, they're going to double-team him, bracket him over the top. Now, it's hard with a young quarterback. We're not sure they can handle the good matchups, exploit them, go away. He's probably going to force feed to Gordon again here like he did last week when 12 targets and only four catches. But Coleman wasn't targeted at all, didn't have a ball. I think that'll be something that Hugh Jackson should, in theory, tell Kaiser that, hey, this guy's going to be in a good matchup. Now, things are going to open up on the other side for Coleman. So got a lot of trust there in the coaching of Jackson and the play of Kaiser. But that's why he's a tournament dice roll, not a cash game guy, because you don't, he could easily be shut out and you're done. But he could easily also have five catches for 120 and a touchdown as well, working against or opposite to where Josh Gordon lines up. And finally, we'll close with the tight ends here in DFS. And if you're going for the moderate points, and I always go moderate here because this week you have Rob Gronkowski. He's out, suspended for that hit on Tre'Davious White. Zach Ertz looks like he'll return from a concussion, but the Rams are actually very good against the tight end, so I don't really want to pay up for Ertz there. So this is a week to go mid-range bargain or go really bargain basement. You look at Jason Witten, 5,800 on FanDuel, 47. He's playing the Giants. He eats up the Giants. He scored against them, had a solid game, very similar game last week as well against the Redskins. So division foes, matchup. Everything lines up for Witten there. Easy want to play, as well as Hunter Henry. The price is still very reasonable for him, even though he's emerging every week. 5,600 and on FanDuel, 4,500. So either one of those guys is a good mid-range option for you. We know that Witten did some damage against the Redskins. Henry can do some things similar. They're actually very similar players if you look at them. I think Henry has a little bit more athleticism upside at the moment, being the much younger player. But I see them as very similar and very similar values this week and very similar matchups this week. Now, if you go bargain basement, there's two. And it's back to the Texans 49ers game. So that's going to be a theme here of a lot of a DFS play. I think a lot people think that could be a sneaky shootout, but 4,500 for tight end Steven Anderson. That's the guy I mentioned before that didn't mention his name. When you look at the situation, like I said, there's no Bruce Ellington. Braxton Miller is still going through the concussion protocol. We'll find out more here, but Ellington's out for the season. Miller's down. CJ Fedorowicz is on IR with concussion. Ryan Griffin's down. I don't really trust Fuller to get the ball much from Savage, and Hopkins will be blanket. So all things line up for Anderson to be busy again. He can play like a wide receiver inside. He's got that juice. We know that Savage and Bill O'Brien like to get the ball to the tight ends when they're a difference maker athletically, and Anderson can be that. No Jaquiski Tartt. If Tartt was in there for the 49ers, a safety, athletic young guy that could stay with Anderson, I would totally pivot away, but the 49ers have given up a lot of tight end touchdowns of late. Last week was an exception because Adam Shaheen didn't even get targeted and Daniel Brown did absolutely nothing for the Bears. So that is a bit of an exception because they didn't really have competition. But Anderson, you know, is going to be involved again. Got monstrous amount of targets last week. So I'd expect things to happen for Savage there and a chance for a touchdown. And George Kittle nearly scored there. 5,100 there. So it's actually more on FanDuel. So this is more of a DraftKings play, 2,700. And Kittle, we've seen before do some big things with C.J. Beathard and Brian Hoyer, but he's just learning his way with Garoppolo. He almost scored last week against the Bears. So if you're going way cheap and looking for a guy that can pop into the end zone, Goodwin and Taylor, when you look at Trent Taylor, the slot receiver, both of them went off last week. Yeah, the Texans are going to struggle with both of those guys, but that's going to open up things for Kittle at some point. And Kyle Shanahan's a little like Sean McVay. If the matchups are there, he's going to exploit them in the trickle-down. And I think you're going to see that definitely with Kittle this week. So, sneaky. He didn't really do too much otherwise. But that's why, again, he's a better GPP play and a bargain where 2,700 allows you to do so much more with the rest of your team and really go for some studs at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and really, hey, you might get lucky with Kittle and put your team over the top there for sure. Now, who are the next year's stars that we're going to be looking at DFS and regular year-long fantasy football? Well, you got to check on Locked On NFL Draft. We know that Saquon Barkley could be an excellent value all season long for where he ends up. Bryce Love, your Heisman finalist from Stanford. We'll see what he can do. Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield also invited to the Downtown Athletic Club for tomorrow's ceremony. We'll see how things break down there. But Jackson and Mayfield, we know rookie quarterbacks can always be a value. We've seen that this year with Deshaun Watson for sure. So we're excited to see what those guys can do and can't wait. And the best way to keep up with all those things leading up to the 2018 NFL Draft in April is to listen to Locked On NFL Draft. Let's close the show with some looks at the injuries that you need to know. And we'll start at quarterback here. And Tyrod Taylor, he could play. He's gotten some limited practice of late, but Nathan Peterman could easily start that game. Cam Newton, Dak Prescott are good to go, as well as Blake Bortles, Tom Brady, and James Winston. The real question is Matthew Stafford with a hand injury. Jim Caldwell seemed a little less committal with the update on Friday, so we'll see how that goes. But it'll be interesting to see if he's limited at all, but that's why he's a bit of a risk here, more so in a daily than in regular leagues. I think he'll be fine, but daily, I think you can do much better if they are a little bit limited with him. At running back, we go to Adrian Peterson. He could be missing here another game. Kerwin Williams, I think you could see a little bit of DJ Foster, a little bit more against Tennessee. But Kerwin Williams, you have to pay attention. He did produce in a tough matchup last week with Peterson out and close to 100 yards. So pay attention to that one. We mentioned a Mixon with a concussion. Bernard is looking good to play. We'll have to watch Amir Abdullah. He could play there with a neck injury, but if not, you're going to see a lot of Theo Riddick there in the matchup with Tampa Bay. Now, a couple interesting ones that could affect committees here. Wayne Gallman, bit banged up with a hip injury for the Giants. Arlen Darkwa was a little sick under the weather on Thursday and missed practice, but maybe Gallman, if he's not able to be out there for more touches, I think Darkwa could have some effect and maybe some garbage time there against the Cowboys, because we know scoring sometimes is Darkwa's best value, and he has that chance if Gallman is not in the mix. Now, Doug Martin, it looks like he's on track to play here, but Peyton Barber, don't be surprised if Barber continues to have a big role. He was just too good last week in Green Bay to not to totally. Same in Detroit, and the Lions' run defense is a mess right now, so there's some opportunities to be had on the ground against them for sure. Now, when you look at wide receiver, John Brown might return, but I don't think you can play him with the toe injury, so I would go away from all things Cardinals, because it's pretty much just a Larry Fitzgerald show. Jeremy Maclin, you're not using him, but he's got a back injury that's a little bit of a concern for Sunday night. That could make Mike Wallace more and more attractive there, getting a lot of targets for the Ravens. Kelvin Benjamin may return. It's a good matchup against the Colts secondary, but it's really hard to trust with Zay Jones in there as well, maybe some Deontay Thompson, and you don't know about the quarterback issue. So Benjamin is a big dice roll if you go with him. Emmanuel Sanders will play. Not that I trust him with Trevor Siemian, but he's going to play against the Jets. Devin Funchess has now a shoulder injury, tough matchup against Xavier Rhodes. That's what I don't like about him this week. Marquise Lee is going to play with that knee again. He's the similar case here. The four guys, or really five guys that we're really monitoring here, is Robert Woods. Doesn't look like he's going to play with the shoulder injury. Chris Hogan looks like he will play. It's a Monday night situation, so if you can protect yourself and your league still has Danny Amendola available, I might do that. Remember, Gronk's not playing, so Hogan could have a big impact in this game on Monday night. Looks like he's going to return. Sterling Shepard is closer with a hamstring. You never know with those. Those can be tough, but he looks like he's going to play in Dallas. Great matchup there with no Orlando Scandrick on the other side. When you look at Robbie Anderson, the hamstring is an issue for him there, so I would expect Anderson is now more questionable than Shepard is among the two New York different team receivers there, but we'll have to watch that. Tough matchup anyway against Aqib Talib there, so it may be a good week to go away from Anderson, even though he's red hot here of late. Amari Cooper, we'll have to see what happens with him, but missed practice all week so far with the ankle, not the concussion, so like I said, that's why we like Crabtree. And one non-issue is Rishard Matthews. He's going to return here. He's back to practicing full. So at tight end, the big question mark we had was Zach Ertz. Looks like he's cleared, good to go with a concussion. So you're going to play him, but keep in mind the tough matchup is there. So you stay away from a DFS, but I think you like him for sure in a year long. He's been in every week stud. Don't go away from now. Same thing with Jimmy Graham. Ankle, just rest him from practice. He's good. For Jacksonville, Delanie Walker didn't practice also, but again, Veterans Day rest kind of deal. He'll be good to go. He plays through pretty much everything. And Jordan Reed, what else is new? He's out again with his hamstring injury. So there you have it. There is the look at the key fantasy football injuries. Not too many at this time of year. Well, a lot of people are in IR, and that, of course, changes things, but just not too many, which is a relatively a good sign for fantasy football among the guys that have been recently active and productive for your team. So that puts a bow on week 14 analysis for Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks so much for listening. Please subscribe there on iTunes to get this podcast delivered to you on a regular basis, and make sure checking out all the great podcasts on the Locked On Network. We're powered by our new platform on Panoply. Check us out there. Subscribe. We're all over the place. And there for your listening pleasure. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next week for Roundup Monday, Week 14.